Good to see everyone this evening. Appreciate the presence of everyone, and we have an opportunity after a nice day to come back and study from God's Word, and I'm always appreciative of that. I've mentioned before that I try not to take this occasion for granted, but understand the great privilege and blessing it is to stand before you and open up God's Word and study together. If you'll turn to Psalm 119, we'll read that passage of Scripture upon which our song that we've just sung is based in just a moment. Just 2 years ago, a young person graduated from a high school in Robertson County that we are very familiar with. This young person graduated valedictorian. All through their schooling, from kindergarten to senior year, this person had top grades, highest GPA, top grades, smart as a whip, sharp as a tack. As a result of that, this person graduated and was given an entire full ride to Vanderbilt University. As you know, that school is very expensive, so that is a great scholarship. You can get a great education from that university. This young person graduated from this small high school in Robertson County and was headed to Vanderbilt just 2 years ago in the fall. This young person lasted one semester. That's 16 weeks. That's not very long. And because this person ended up in the wrong crowd, they were sent home, told not to come back. Their grades had fallen off. They were not studying. They were not learning. Grades were terrible. Because this person got into a crowd that just wanted to party. And now this young person is working in fast food, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this young person threw away a great college education because she didn't have some things that are needed in a young person's life and mind, in addition to academics. This person did not have some other grounding that they needed. They had the grades, they had the smarts, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they did not have some character grounding. And when, in just a very short period of time, they were influenced in the wrong way, they went that direction. This evening, I want to talk about a back-to-school list. And we're going to have some things to say this evening for our young people, but I think you'll see this evening that there's some things here for all of us. Whether it's back-to-school or going back to work on Tuesday or whatever the case might be, there's some things that we need to have in our lives. We are going to say some things about our young people, but I believe that there's some things here for all of us. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? It's a great question, one of the greatest questions for youth today. How is a young person pure and clean? How does that happen? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Jehovah. Teach me thy statutes. When our children were young, I remember late summer, you get that back to school list. You know, when they're real little, it's glue and scissors and tape, crayons. But when they get bigger, it's laptops and other kinds of things. They've moved past the crayons. And it's exciting, especially when they're young. They want to go to town and go to the store and let's get what's on the list. That's a fun time. But this evening, we're going to talk about some things that are not on the list and that you cannot buy at Walmart. School is not what it used to be. And maybe you've seen this before. Maybe you've Googled it. The problems that my dad had when he was in high school in 1940, 1938, 39, 40. He's in high school. They say the number one problem was chewing gum. Well, that's terrible. Talking without, you know, raising your hand and getting the teacher's permission. Boy, that's a bad one. Things like that. Talking out of turn. And today it's what? Somebody brings a gun and other terrible kinds of things. School is not what it used to be. And what you and I, as parents, need to share with our young people, what they need to face these things cannot be bought at Walmart. It's not going to be on the list. And so this evening from God's Word, we want to look at some things that we need to have in our lives. And I want our young people to succeed. I love all of our young people. I want to see them become Christians. I want to see them go to heaven. I want to see them godly, as godly young people. And these are some things that we're going to have. And it's not laptops and backpacks and new shoes and new clothes. It's something more important than that. Those things are, nothing wrong with those things, but as an illustration from this young person, it's more than just a secular education. I believe Hester's probably seen this in her line of work over at the college, where young people come and they might be very smart and they might have all the nicest physical things that their parents have bought them. But I'm sure she's seen how that they don't have the mental and psychological ability to have the character to handle certain situations, and they don't act right and they have problems in their life. It's more than just a secular education. It's more than just smarts. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, at the end of a book where Solomon says, I was able to buy anything I wanted. I was able to build anything I wanted. I was able to learn whatever I wanted to learn. At the end of the book, he says, here's the whole of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. And then he reminds his readers of the coming judgment day. That's what it's all about. And it's great to get a good education. But there's more to life than book smarts and SATs and ACTs and being valedictorian and salutatorian and highest GPA. If we don't have the spiritual values, the back to school list that has these spiritual values, we're going to have some problems. So this evening, I'd like to talk about a few of these things. And even those of us as adults, we're going to find that there's some things here for us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. This needs to be on our back to school list. Honesty and integrity. There are passages of Scripture in the New Testament that speak about living honorably, speaking about being honest in the sight of all men. And we need to have honesty and integrity in our life. Romans 12, 17 is just one of several. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. We need to have the honesty and the integrity to live each day, and when you go to school, to be truthful. Of course, one of the things that comes to my mind is, well, cheating on a test. That's not honest. That's not truthful. And it might be easy to do, and other people might be doing that. But we need to live honorably in the sight of others. In 1 Thessalonians 4:12 and Hebrews 13:18 speaks of this same kind of thing. There are going to be situations in where that is tested, young people. You're going to be tested to see if you are honest. And I don't mean a test that's handed out by the teacher, but you're going to be tested on a regular basis. Do you have that honesty and integrity? And if we just haven't learned it and we're not going to do well on it, it's better to take that than to cheat. When we cheat on a test, it's a form of lying. We're saying that we know something and we really don't. It's a form of stealing. We're taking a grade that really doesn't belong to us. And so we need that honesty and that integrity with ourselves, with our fellow students, with teachers, with parents, and with God. And here's why. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. If we're not honest and filled with honesty and integrity, it just all falls apart. We think, well, cheating on one little test is no big deal. What we don't realize is that when that part of our character is breaking down, then we're going to have a breakdown in a number of other areas in our life. If we're not trustworthy in that part of our life, we find ourselves later in life not being trustworthy in other areas of our life. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17, bread of falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. You know, it's nice at the beginning. Boy, I conned him on that one. I got a great grade. I was able to cheat and get by with it. It's sweet. That bread of falsehood is sweet. But later, it's like eating gravel. Later down the road, harm comes. And so we need to be honest, filled with honesty and integrity, as hard as that may be. Just be truthful. Be faithful and dependable all of the time. And if we're not ready for the test and we bomb, own it. But don't add to the problem by lying. And that's what dishonesty is, deceit and lying. It causes problems later in our life. We find that when a person is not honest about something, and we know about lying, Revelation 21:8, all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire. And we think, well, lying is just not telling the truth. That's right, it's not telling the truth. But there's other ways to lie, just like there's different ways to steal. That can happen at work. And when we grow up being dishonest in school, then we find that happening in other areas of our life. Our marriage, our family, our work in the Lord's church. We need honesty and integrity. Make sure, young people, that that's on your back to school list. Here's something else that we need to think about. Respect for authority. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. I realize today that it's cool to make fun of the teacher and badmouth the teacher, and young people do that with parents. Young people will do that with teachers. Those same young people grow up and they do that with their boss. We need to be respectful and respect those that are in authority. Put them in mind to be in subjection to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready unto every good work. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. This is a hard one, one of the most difficult passages of Scripture I can think of in the New Testament, where Peter says, honor all men, not just some. And then he says, love the brotherhood, not just the brethren that we like, but the other brethren too. And this is a difficult passage, but it's not a choice. It's not an option. And so, honor all men. Teachers have been given authority, first of all, I believe, by parents. When a parent turns their child over to a teacher for a period of time throughout the day, that is allowing them to have authority. I believe that teachers are it's almost a form of the state, where the government has given them that authority. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, we are to honor the elderly. They're typically older than we are. And so just by that virtue, we should show them some respect. But today it's about joking and laughing behind their back and cutting up and misbehaving and not doing what they say. And everybody thinks it's funny. You know, the class clown, he gets going, you know. And then we get on board with him. But it's disrespectful. We need to have respect for those who are in authority. And the reason is, there is great harm when we take the opposite. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. If we take this rebellious approach, where I'm not going to listen and I'm not going to do what I'm told to do, again, like the other, there's a breakdown in other areas of our life. And we find that it causes other kinds of problems. Individuals who have been raised on disrespect That comes out in other areas of their life. And so what starts at school ends up being, I disrespect law enforcement. I disrespect my boss. I disrespect other people around me. Paul says, for we were once foolish. And I want you to look at that first word in this list. Foolishness is acting without reason and without purpose. And when I'm misbehaving and disrespecting a teacher's authority, I'm acting foolishly. Notice that that's at the beginning of the list. And when I act that way, there's going to be other problems that follow. Look at this. Number one, I'm going to be disobedient. Number two, I'm going to be deceived. Number three, serving divers lust, my desires and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. And it all starts with just being foolish. And part of that is disobedience and doing what I want. I was telling Carlin the other day at the breakfast table that ashamedly I did that in high school one time. We had a high school Spanish teacher that was legally blind. And so when he would read, he read out to the side of his vision. He could see clear out to the side of his vision and straight on. And so we poked fun of that. I shouldn't have done that. And it's cool and it's fun. But it's wrong. And so hopefully we learn from those things. Let's make sure that respect for authority is on our back to school list. Let's make sure that hard work is on our list. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. We live in a society today, and you see it in the workplace. It's a get-by society. It's a half-measure society. It's a okay society. Just okay, you know. We don't want to do quality work. We don't want to do our best. And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Do your best. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, that when we're working, we need to work heartily as unto the Lord. Is that on our list? We need to be somebody who is responsible and dependable and faithful. This is better than just getting by. And that's what's being taught today. Just get by. Just barely squeak by. Just barely get by. Don't put your heart into it. Don't put your all into it. And again, like these other things that we're saying, that when that is in my life, in this one little area of my schooling, it ends up being in other areas. And so we don't want to give our all in our marriage. We don't want to give our all at work. I'm sure some of you, brethren, here this evening go to work each week with individuals who have this get-by mentality, and you're wondering, I'm the conscientious one. It all comes back on me. I'm the one that has to carry the load for other people. Because they have this get-by mentality. And I feel for you, brethren, who have to deal with that. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. If we are faithless and we're not hardworking in small things, somebody says, well, it's just school. What's the big deal? It's just school. Well, if we're not the right way there in what I would call a small thing in my life, when things are greater later in life, we're not going to be faithful in that either. If we don't do our best with small things, then we're not going to do our best with those greater things in life. And that is a principle that Jesus lays down in His teaching ministry. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, we know the parable of those with the talents. And the five-talent man doubles his, and the two-talent man doubles his, and the one-talent man is afraid, verse 25, and he goes and buries his talent in the earth. But look at the five-talent man in verse 20. He that received the five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents, and I have gained other five talents. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. When we can handle this part of our life, then we can handle greater things in our life. If we can't, then we won't. Turn with me to Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. If we're not hardworking and responsible and dependable with just small things even around the house and things involving our schooling, we are not going to be able to handle those greater things that come later in life, such as a job or marriage or just being a faithful Christian, raising a family. One reason why in our nation we are having the breakdown of the marriage and the family is that individuals are marrying and they're having children who were raised on a philosophy of just get by. And now they're bringing that into their marriage and their family, and our country is falling apart spiritually. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus makes the same point in verse 10. He that is faithful, trustworthy in very little is faithful also in much, and he that is unrighteous in a very little is unrighteous also in much. There are things involving the local church that involve great responsibilities. We've been talking recently because of going through Timothy and Titus, the idea of elders and deacons. Those are not trophies. I'm an elder. I'm a deacon. It's just some trophy up there. It's a service. It's a work. It's a great responsibility. And if we're striving for something like that, and we've been talking about in our classes that we as men need to be thinking about that. Joe mentioned that recently in his lesson. That's great. But if we can't handle the little things, then we're not going to be able to handle that. If we're not hardworking and trustworthy and dependable and reliable in small things, we're not going to be able to handle that, which has much greater responsibility. So when you put your mind to your schoolwork, do it with all of your might. Because that is setting you up for an approach to life that when you do get married, you're going to put your all into it. And when you have your children, you're going to raise them to the best of God's ability and according to God's word. And when you become a Christian, you're going to be committed and hardworking. It'll serve you all the way through life. Don't buy into the get-by mentality. Barely scrape by. Just do the bare minimum. But approach it the way Solomon talks about and the way Paul talks about, heartily, with all of your might. That needs to be on your back-to-school list. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Virtue needs to be on your list. Virtue is the word that means an excellent character. And Peter tells us to add this to our faith. We're to grow. We're not to just have a stagnant faith. And so we take our faith and we add to it knowledge and all of these things that Peter talks about. And in verse 6, we are to add virtue. Arte. This is the moral excellence to stand for what is right and have the moral courage and character needed to stand for what is right and say no to what is wrong. And this young person a couple of years ago had all kinds of smarts, but didn't have virtue. And so when they got in the wrong crowd, they're swayed and taken away by that. And then the grade suffered. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That takes courage. And in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, Daniel and those who were taken to Babylon, they had purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. So take virtue in your character and in your heart each day.
Because there's going to be times when you have to say no to things. And you're going to have to resist the devil and flee from him, James chapter 4 and verse 7. Why is that? Well, let's be honest. You're going to be seeing and hearing things around you of a sinful influence, evil influence. And we can't bury our head in the sand and act like it doesn't exist. It is there. When I was teaching the high school class earlier this year, some of them were sharing with me some of the things that they see and hear at school. It's there. But you say no to that, you don't engage in that, and you purpose in your heart, like Daniel, that you're going to stand up for what is right, whether it's somebody wearing something they shouldn't say or saying something they shouldn't say. A lot of times we put the word immodesty on clothing, and we did that a few weeks ago in a lesson. But immodesty can also be in what we say and how we act. It's not a decorum. It's a looseness where we just say what we want, think what we want, act any way we want. That can be just as immodest as clothing. Bad language. Fighting. And young ladies, listen to me. Some of the worst offenders in fighting are girls. I was walking down the hallway one time at Springfield High School. I was, what is going on here? There's this big crowd. You just walk away, you kind of come up on a crowd. You can't go anymore because there's a crowd. Two girls just going at it, pulling hair, scratching, punching, kicking over a boy. Guys can be guilty of that too, but that was one thing that was shared to me by our young people here earlier in the year, fighting. Not controlling tempers, not controlling ourselves, allowing anger and wrath and malice to just get out there and not controlling that. We need to say no to that. And when we hear and see those things around us, we need to purpose in our heart that we're not going to defile ourselves with those kinds of things. And that has to be in our heart before we get into that situation. I believe that that was in Daniel and his friends before they got into that situation. Before they're called upon in chapter 3 to bow down before the idol, they had already decided what was right. Before Daniel was told, you can't pray, and he did it anyway, he had already decided that. That was instilled in him early on. It was on the list, if you will, early on. And he took that with him. We're going to have the moral courage and the character to do what is right at all times. Make sure that that is on your back to school list. You know, we need to have this on the list, and that is God's truth, God's Word, the Bible. And I realize that in our society today, among many, the Bible is poked fun of, and it's silly, and it's full of fables and fiction and that type of thing. I get that. And people tear it down, but without good reason. There is so much evidence that we could present that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, and that's the subject of another lesson. But when you go into a school setting, and this is probably more so true as you get higher up in the grades, and especially at the university level, that you're going to be challenged with things that are not according to God's truth. And you always have to come back to, well, that's what man says. It's false. It's not true. I'm going to go with the truth of God's Word. It must always be followed over what man says. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. And let me hasten to say while I'm thinking about it that I believe that in this area that we're in Middle Tennessee, I think we're blessed with regard to public education, where there's many places where it's not filled with the human wisdom and philosophy like it might be in other places in our country. Our children were blessed to go to a public school where they were never challenged. You know, you need to believe in evolution. In fact, the high school teachers where our kids went were church-going people, and a lot of times they would say, well, the book says evolution. I'm supposed to tell you about that, so let me tell you about it real quick. And then they would say, but I believe God created the world. And I think that's great. And you probably have some of that here in Clarksville as well. But in case we get into a situation somewhere in our life where somebody is up there saying something that is not the truth of God's Word, we must always come back to the truth of God's Word, because Isaiah 5:20, there are all kinds of people out there who are saying evil is good and good is evil. They've got it all twisted and turned around. And Paul warns against human philosophy, Colossians 2 and verse 8, that can take us away from the truth of Christ. So when you hear something that is not according to the truth of God's Word, it's a lie, and don't believe it. Young people are bombarded with all kinds of false messages. And again, maybe not so much at the lower grade levels, but when you get up into the university level especially, you might hear something. Evolution, sex education, homosexuality is fine, transgenderism is fine. Always come back to the truth of God's Word on those subjects and many other subjects. You know what's interesting about some of this is all of it is answered in the first two chapters of Genesis. The truth is laid out there on many topics that are being twisted and distorted today. Just go back to the very beginning and follow the truth of God's Word. When you hear something that does not match up with the truth of God's Word, just understand that it's man's word. It's not true. It's a human philosophy that is trying to take us away from God, and we're always going to come back to that truth of God's Word. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." And it's poked fun of today, and it's belittled today, and scholars don't believe that, and the PhDs, they don't go by that. That's just fairy tale and fable. And we all know that the world began with a big bang and there is no God and that type of thing. And you may be in a scenario where you're in the minority and maybe even belittled for what you believe, but stay with the truth of God's Word. And sometimes it's very subtle. Sometimes it's easy to catch and sometimes it's subtle. But always follow the truth of God's Word. Make sure that that's on your back to school list. Make sure that the light of your influence is on your list. I think sometimes we go into this topic of schooling and we talk about how that the pressure is against us and all the bad that is against us, and we need to turn it around. We can be, and I know of young Christians. I know of Christian teachers. We have some here this evening. I know of Christian teachers who have been a positive influence in their classrooms, and that's great. And young Christians who are a positive light. We shine the light of our example so that people can see God. I believe peer pressure works both ways. We commonly talk about it from the standpoint of evil pressuring us to do evil, but we, with the righteous truths of God's Word, can pressure others to do what is right. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. And one specific area that I would like to talk about this evening with regard to influence, turn with me to Philippians 2, is sharing God's Word with others. Young people have a great advantage and talent to talk with their friends about God's Word. We've got a gospel meeting coming up. Let me challenge all of the young people here this evening to grab those flyers and those handouts. And I've known of situations and been involved in situations where in a gospel meeting and even just with regular services every week where the young people were bringing more friends than I was, than the adults. They have a talent and a knack for that. And I want to encourage you to do that. But Paul talks about this influence, that you might be blameless and harmless. That's the only way our influence can be helpful, is when we're living right ourselves. Children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you are seen as lights in the world. But look at the rest of the statement. Holding forth the word of life. Share a Bible message or passage or lesson
with your friends. Share with them a copy of your notes from the lesson. Abraham has been posting some things on social media with regard to lessons that are presented here or things that he's studying in Bible class. Share this with others. Talk with others about the Word of Life. Yes, you can be an example in how you act and your decorum, but also talk with others about the truth of God's Word. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. When we're not the light, then the darkness is going to creep in. When you go into a dark room and flip the switch, the darkness goes away. But when you flip the switch again and the light goes out, the darkness comes back. And so if we're not sharing our influence in time, our lives just slowly fill with darkness. If we're not out there being the positive example as a Christian we need to be, we're not going to stay neutral. Something else is going to happen and the darkness is going to creep in. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, "Where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness?" If we're slowly losing the light and the light is going out, then it's filling with darkness. And then we just become the Christian that is not worth any good to anybody, except maybe the devil. So make sure that that's on our back to school list. You know, when I think about schooling, one of the things that I commonly think of is that when we're young, we want to have those friends. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. Make sure that this is on our list, that when we're seeking those friendships and those classmates, that we have those individuals who are going to help us to be a better person, not someone who's going to make us worldly. When we have these friendships with the world, and by that, James is talking about when you condone and engage in the sin that these people are doing, that's the friendship there. You're at enmity with God. We're opposed to God. And so we need to choose our friends very carefully. They're not chosen by popularity. They're not chosen by what they're wearing. They're not chosen by how cool they are. They're not chosen by how much money they have. They're not chosen by the latest things that they own. They're chosen by their character. In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20, "Walk with wise men and thou shalt be wise, but the companion of fools shall smart for it." Walk with wise men and thou shalt be wise. When we choose our friends, they either bring us up and make us better or they bring us down. And if we're in a school situation where we cannot have moral friends that will bring us up, we need to remember our Christian friends here in this local congregation and associate with them and spend time with them. You're blessed to have others your age. There are many congregations across the country and the world that don't have the young people that we have here. Be with your Christian friends. Just simply because bad company corrupts good morals. And we're familiar with 1 Corinthians 15. Make sure that on our list, it is that which is going to make me a better person, not a companion of fools where I smart for it later in life. And then last of all, let me say that when you get up each day and you go back to school, that you being a Christian is on the list. It doesn't matter whether you have the latest laptop. It doesn't matter whether you have the latest clothing styles. It doesn't matter if you own the newest shoes. It doesn't matter about any of that. If we're not the Christian that we need to be, all of that other is for naught. And we glorify God by wearing the name Christian. We still have to put the kingdom first in our school activities. Sometimes school activities, we allow them to take precedence over, for example, the worship service. When Sherry and I were in South Carolina, there was a family.
she was the treasurer. So you'd say, well, they're kind of involved in the local church. A lot of times their teenage children would not be there. Many times she wouldn't be there for a service. And so I just asked them. They said, well, they're doing homework. Or they're on this school trip or that school trip. And a lot of times, well, they're studying for a test. As it turned out,
one of the young persons later I heard was an unfaithful Christian. He ended up causing problems in the church with regard to the treasury and other things like that. But we're at home getting our schooling done. Always put God's kingdom first, which is involves being here for worshiping God. Pray for your food. Go through the lunch line, sit down in the cafeteria. Pray for your food. We're still a Christian. Well, others around me don't do that. Well, be a good example for them. Pray for your food. Be a good Christian. Let your light shine. Put the kingdom first. Let schooling be secondary to the kingdom. It is always first. And that'll serve you well throughout your life. And the reason is, God is still watching when we're there. We get up in the morning, we go to school, God is still watching. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, and it's really a great passage for all of us. The eyes of Jehovah are in every place, keeping watch upon the evil and the good. Be a good Christian throughout the day when you're away from mom and dad. You can't get that at Walmart. But you get it here. And this is what's going to help us go through life and be right with God. And in the end, go be with Him in heaven. I hope that that has helped us now that we've been back into school the past few weeks. Let's remind ourselves of what is really important to make it through life and be pleasing to God. There may be someone here this evening that needs to begin that path. As a Christian, we invite you to come. We're not given a promise of tomorrow. I would encourage you to take the opportunity that you have this evening to be baptized into Christ. If there's someone here that needs to come back, we can help you with your needs as well. God's list is a great list. And I'm glad He tells us these things. He lets us know what we're to be, so that we can be with Him for all eternity. Let's be that. If we can help you to be that this evening, why won't you come as we stand and sing?